prayer is praise. So let's pray. Into thy company, O God, we come today with our lips easily saying our praise to thee. Wouldst thou impress upon us in these moments of quietness and worship that which our lips have said must now be backed by our lives, till as nature, our natures too might truly praise thee. In Christ our Lord. Amen. Rod Byard, who will bring the comments today in worship, is a fellow who's had trouble with his name all these years. Some people think he has the largest aspirin factory in the world, and they call him Bayard and things like that. But his name is really Byard, unless you are the manager of a sock company and you think his name is just Bird misspelled. Mr. Byard is a fellow who, if you don't please him, is apt to let you know it. This sock company, through the mail order process, sent some socks to him that he ordered. And upon wearing them, he discovered they didn't do what the ad said they'd do. They wouldn't stay up, couldn't keep the tops up, fall down around his shoes. After wearing them some time, he mailed the whole thing back to the company with a rather vigorous letter of protest, only to receive from the manager of the product services division a letter. Dear Mr. Bird, our socks usually stay up on most kinds of legs. So it goes. Mr. Byard was born in Columbus, Georgia, wherever that is, in the southern part of these United States, graduated from William Jewell College over in Missouri, in Liberty, Missouri, and then a bit later from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. After a spell in Kansas City in the Swope Park Baptist Church, in 1963, he came to join the team of ministers at the First Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where it was my privilege to be also a part of that team of ministers. So for a dozen years, we learned what it means to become brothers, laborers together with God. So, after a while here, discovering the work we needed done in public relations and in publications and communications and financial development and institutional research and planning, we thought of persons who might do this job for us at Southeastern, and Rod Byard's name came to the top of those that we thought could do it. So, in the processes of God's plan and purpose and our negotiations, he came on August 1st to become the very first ever assistant to the president for institutional development at our school. He has a very big job, but he has talents to give to it and a great big old heart and spirit galore. So I'm of the opinion that the days ahead will be bright in institutional development. Rod is married to Nancy Fechner from St. Louis, Missouri, and they have three children, Becky, Jenny, and Amy. We'll hear him in a moment after we read scripture and are led in worship by the singers who will sing an anthem. Let's turn to read responsively, reading 14. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth yet not appear what we shall be. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
There are three very simple statements that have become very crucial in the past few years in my life. And I trust that these have become crucial because as my life has hopefully matured and grown, that I have been able to give some priorities to life itself and those things which make for the fulfillment of life. For me to proclaim these three statements, I feel hopefully as a reflection of the presence of God in my life. And not to proclaim them vigorously is to deny what I understand the gospel itself to be. And the statements are these: I am, you are, we are. For me to seize this day and to celebrate its beauty and its opportunity, I must be able to say, I am. To consciously accept the fact that I exist, that I have been created, that I am a unique living soul, is one of the healthiest things I think I can do. I am a human being, a male expression of the species, Caucasian by race, Scotch-Irish, I think, by background, 47 years old by age. 3 inches short of 6 feet by height. I wear a regular 40 size jacket and size 10D shoes. I'm not going to comment on the size socks I wear at all. I have a fair degree of intelligence, I suppose because I have a seminary degree that somewhat proves it, and I have a curiosity for new ideas. I'm united in marriage to a female expression of the species and the father of 3 daughters, whom I love very dearly. I cherish my sensitivity to the reality and the beauty of life as God reveals himself to me each day. And yet I too, like you, tend to worry, to fret, to have feelings of insecurity. I get feelings of loneliness at times. And because of these, I suppose that's the reason I like to maybe stay in my office a bit longer by myself or to go to some quiet place to simply be alone and to cease communication with my fellow human beings. And yet that's not the way I operate usually, but that's one of the things. I am. And I'm glad that I am. I celebrate that because in fashioning me with his own creative hands, God has given me life, the very essence of himself. You are. To proclaim the fact of your existence is as crucial as proclaiming my existence, and just as inescapably so. For you see, the validating of my own life is tied into my commitment to give meaning to your life. You are male, female, black, white, yellow, short, tall, fat, slender, in between, young and not so young. You're from Alabama or Texas or Korea or Japan or Georgia or Florida or Illinois or Kentucky. Some of you are mature. Your experiences have sharpened your ability to make decisions and to exercise options, and to have patience and to wait for things to happen. Some of you are still being fashioned into mature persons to accept the responsibilities and the challenges in your pilgrimage. Some of you are hurting. Right now, you're hurting. You're feeling the emptiness of being alone, maybe. Or you're feeling the burden of an uncertain future. Or you're feeling the hurts of the past. You can't somehow escape from those. Some of you woke up today with a relaxed and carefree spirit, eager to receive whatever the day would bring. Some of you are solvent with money in the bank and a jingle in your pocket, but some of you are operating on a shoestring. Among you, there are those who are verbose with a ready comment all the time, but some of you are quiet and unassuming, listening more than talking. You have blue eyes or green eyes or brown eyes. Some men feel comfortable with a beard, but most of you feel more comfortable shaving every day. Some of you give expression to your feelings by writing, whether it be letters, prose, or poetry. And some of you express your feelings through music and some through art. In your blend of humanity, there are those of you who are more readily open to new ideas than others. Some of you feel that a more stable stance is a thing for you. But whatever your individual characteristics, the basic proclamation is that you are. I affirm that you are. The gospel calls me to affirm your being and to do so in a way that helps you to feel the presence of God in your life. If I'm able to affirm my own existence and to proclaim the joy of your life, does that not presuppose the third statement? We are. Out of our diversity, out of our uniqueness, it is the same God who has fashioned each of us and breathed into us his breath of life. It is no accident that we are together in this room today. We have chosen to confess our interdependence. We've chosen to affirm our togetherness. With one breath, we worship our Creator, and with a singleness of mind, we join heart and hand in the challenge to be God's people and to serve Him. Jesus Christ is not only the center of our togetherness, but He creates the Spirit whereby we are willing to be created into a oneness. And from our oneness comes acceptance of the challenge to share in the freshness of creation, the freshness of today. Our energies respond to the Spirit of God. There are no prepackaged deals that we get from God, but there is a call inherent in each breath, in each thought, in each word, in each action, to reflect God's presence and to join Him in His work of creation. But to be together, to affirm that we are, is laced through and through with risk. It's the only way, I feel, though, that I can honestly accept God's gift of life, to be responsible and to find fulfillment, to be one with you. I can dare to be myself. To be one with you, my soul can go naked. You do not ask me to put on anything, but to be myself. I don't have to be on my guard. I can say what I think so long it is genuinely me. You understand those contradictions in my nature, those contradictions that cause others to misunderstand me, because we share a oneness. With you, I breathe freely. My vanities and envies and absurdities dissolve in the white ocean of your loyalty. I can weep with you, laugh with you, pray with you. Through it all, because of our oneness, you accept and love me. I can dare to be myself because of our oneness in God through Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, our Father and our Creator, this day has been given to us as a gift. Give us the will and the energies and the sense to care for it and to share it. As we affirm that we are in you, and that you have created us. In Christ's strong name we pray. Amen.